couple of weeks ago, Sue and I were down at the Lal Gard Leprosy Hospital Services Centre, as it's called, at Lal Gard. Sunday evening, I think it was, sometime Sunday, I was watching the video of your service here in Warwick, which was really nice. So thank you, Mr. Video. Ian put up a prayer which really spoke to me, and there's been some heart stuff going on this morning. I can tell it in people's voices, and I find it in mine, so forgive me if I get emotional. Ian put up a prayer, which I know you all read out. He said, or the prayer said, "We have not brought our prayers to you, nor heeded your tears. Nor heeded your tears shed over a broken world." Sorry. We had that day, had the opportunity to go and sit with some of the people affected by leprosy. And I think in those circumstances, you come to face to face with the broken world that we're in their personal circumstances. And we sat with a lady. Her name was Shantamaya. She had had her diagnosis of leprosy about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And the world, her world had fallen apart in a way that probably we will never understand. But she faced rejection from her village. The village men had said she'd got to leave. She couldn't use their water supply. It was the whole... the nearest thing that came to my mind, and apologies to Morris here, but when somebody gets a diagnosis of cancer and suddenly the whole world changes, everything changes, suddenly hopes and aspirations and where life's going suddenly stops, and you have to do a complete recalibration. Suddenly everything is finite, everything is different. And with the thing with cancer, to me, I don't know, Morris may testify it differently, it seems that your family, your friends, all gather around you to support you through this new tragedy that you face. With leprosy, it's the complete opposite. You are utterly, become completely rejected, pushed out of village, pushed out of society. And this lady was just sobbing. Deep, heartfelt sobs of hopelessness. And it's a privilege. And this is the important thing for us, is that in a world of tragedy, we've got a message of hope. There are things that can be done practically to help people. Of course there are. But at a much, much deeper level, we've got a gospel of good news that we can go to people. I mean, even this week, yesterday we went to see Andy Olver in Leamington. We saw with Ron, saw Anne Kennedy in hospital earlier in the week. We got dear old Dolph struggling at the moment. This is a broken world, and through that we have a God who loves us, who we have a message of hope. And that's what I want to bring this morning, really. And the purpose of this series, All the Difference in the World, is that the little red dots which represent us are... Here we are on a Sunday morning. This is from Ian's talk a couple of weeks ago. Gathered together. But tomorrow, we head out into the world in our front lines... In the places where we go, the people that we meet, and we can make a difference because of the message that we have in our hearts. There we go. Now, I want to show you this. Come on. Right, this, last week, last Saturday, because the church meets on Saturday in Kathmandu in Nepal, this is a notice on the way out of Patton Church in Kathmandu. I loved it. I thought that is such a good message. And, you know, maybe we need one of those on our door here. And this is for us. This is our message. So, Bible. If you've got a Bible, let's turn, if you have, to Colossians chapter 3. James is bringing some around. Today's subject is whatever we do. What I'm going to do is run through a few points from this passage of Scripture. Then Anne Morse has volunteered to be our this time tomorrow person for today, just to talk through her front lines and where she goes during the week, and then we can pray for Anne. And then the video for this week is actually a prayer. So I thought we'd have that at the end. Just listen and watch, and then we can say amen. So, chapter 3 of Colossians, starting at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Let. Just Esther was sharing some of the pictures that she had, and in some of these things there is an action for us, and there's a couple of actions that come out of this passage immediately. Let is something you have to do. You have to let the peace of Christ, or the peace of God, rule in your heart. It happens with your consent. You follow that? It's not. It's something we have to do. We have to sort of work it through. Let it reign. Since the fall, if you know the stories of Genesis, when God drove man and woman out of the garden, and he said to the man, "By the sweat of your brow, you'll eat, and the ground will bear you thorns and thistles." And that is the essence of the broken world that we live in. Whatever we do in life, there is this thorns and thistles. It may be ill health, it may be all sorts of things, sickness, faults, failures, unemployment, poverty. All these things have flowed out of the fall, out of the curse that is on this world as a result of sin. And it's so easy for those things to displace peace and joy that God has put in our hearts by Jesus Christ. And I think there's a sort of a mental ascent here that we need to make. Hey, Lord, I'm going to put that aside. You are in control. Numerous times I can think of walking out of my office, the office that I work in Birmingham, with whatever stresses are going on, you know, faults and failures, things have gone wrong and come back to bite you, or there's not enough work, or there's too much work, or, you know, all the stuff that goes on week by week, and you come out and there's the sky, there's the stars, unchanging, and God says, "Look, I'm bigger than all this." And it's such a... you say, "Yes, Lord, I understand." And there's a peace that comes from that ascent. "Lord, you are bigger than all this. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret over this. You're in control. I trust you." And then you can walk off to the railway station with a bit more of a bounce in your step than you were feeling the moment before you walked out the door. And it's this mental thing somewhere in your mind. Let the peace of God come. You know, don't worry. Let it happen. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let it reign. Moving on, verse 16. Another let. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So some of you may have, if you've got a more modern version of the NIV, it may say the message of Christ. The message of Christ, I suppose, is the gospel, but I think the word of Christ is a better translation. And Hazel read it, that bit from John. I think it was that, wasn't it, from the message. I don't always recognize the message, but there you go. In my language, it's, you know, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. It was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the message. This word is Jesus himself, Jesus Christ. I think that fits well. Let the message of Christ, or the word of Christ, dwell in you richly. This Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, can come and dwell in us. And that word is amongst us. So two lets. Let the peace of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in us. Okay, I'm going to move on. Verse 17 now. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, that's the title of our passage. Hold on, I got some things. Here we go. Verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wherever we are on our front line, whatever we're doing, whatever we're saying, do it in his name. And that means we represent him. We are his ambassadors. We speak on his behalf, which is an awesome responsibility. If you can't have missed the Prince Andrew stuff that's been going on in the past couple of weeks. In his royal duties, Prince Andrew represents the Queen. He speaks and acts on her behalf, and as a result of his compromised position, he cannot represent her and has had to resign and step down, as we know. And yet, in the same way, we represent Jesus. Oh, that's a tall order. That's an awesome thing to be asked to do. And yet, he has given us the tools. By the Holy Spirit, he has given us a new life. And that's something we need to get a grip of and an understanding of. This is a gift from God. This is not us trying to do it. This is a miraculous revelation, I suppose. It's something that God has put and done in our hearts if we've been born again by his Spirit. And therefore we can represent him. We can be his representative in our place, wherever we do, wherever we are, whatever we do, when we speak, in word or deed, it says here. Verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're representing him in our place, wherever we are, place of work, place of volunteering, at home, if we're retired, we're out, we're in the supermarket, we're on the bus, whatever we do. It's the same for everybody, all of us. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'm going to skip the next bit to verse 22. Slaves, it says. Now, thankfully, we're not slaves, but we might be employees, we might be volunteers, we might be doing all sorts of things. So I think we need to put ourselves in that place. Slaves, he says, obey your earthly masters in everything. And do it not only when their eyes are on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, he says again. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance for the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So there's a sort of a godly instruction here to to put our hearts and souls into what we do, whatever it is. For me, that might be, building a road and deciding what sort of asphalt needs to go down. For you, it might be, there's a load of JLR people designing a gearbox, getting the right kind of tooth size in the gearbox. We do all sorts of different things. Doesn't matter. Always the same. Do it with all your heart as if you're doing it for the Lord. And the wonderful thing that he underlines here is that it is the Lord Christ you are serving. And that is as much in your secular work as it is in what you're doing for the church and what you're doing directly to serve others in visiting people and looking after people and all that, all the stuff that goes on which God values. Everything we do, we're working for him, we're representing him, and it needs to be this kind of conscious mindset that is what we're doing, that is what I'm doing today. I am Jesus in this place. So there you go. Not a huge amount of stuff, eh? I've got a summary here. Okay. Two actions. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. Two lets to take away. And whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus as his representative and work at it with all your heart. Not a long sermon, thankfully. So, we've as you know, over the past weeks, we've been asking a member of the congregation to come and share a bit about what they do and how what their front lines are and where they go and who they meet and all that kind of stuff. And Anne Morse has offered to come and do that. Do you want to, could you turn on another mic, David? And then, so, is that too high?
That is. That's fine. That's fine.
Tell you what, come here and I'll go there. Then people can maybe see. So, firstly, Anne, a thumbnail sketch of who you are, what you do, and that sort of thing.
Okay. So I'm Anne Morse, married to David over back on the sound desk. We have a daughter, Elizabeth, who is in her first year at Aberdeen University. What I do is part-time. I work for Severn Trent Water as a process engineer. That's 2.5 days a week. And the rest of my time, I'm doing stuff at home. Wednesdays, I'm part of lead the midweek group that meets here on a Wednesday morning. Looks like this Wednesday afternoon I might be helping Celia with a bit of moving. so that's it. Quite varied in terms of activities throughout the week.
Okay, so I suppose describe a little bit about your kind of front lines. You're doing a variety of things. You're partly in paid employment, partly in sort of doing voluntary work. You've talked about midweek group, talked about furniture removal, and then the process engineering at Severn Trent. What does that mean?
Process water. You tip it through a filter.
We do a bit more than that. So the water treatment process is basically where we take the water from the river or the reservoir or the borehole and we wouldn't want to drink it in that state, and we treat it with a number of different treatment processes to make it fit to drink. My role as a process engineer is to make sure that those processes operate properly. They're controlled in the right way, put the right amount of chemical in the right place, we take it out in the right way, we deal with all the waste.
Praise God. See, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew you worked at Severn Trent, but I didn't know that was what you did. And you know, that's fantastic. So thank you. Front lines then, what's your circle of people? But, and the point of this is that at the end of this interview, we can pray for you.
Thank you. So, when's the morning, really sort of long time. No wonderful sitting around that. I suppose really in the Central context, I work with a number of different project teams or different schemes. So, if anybody remembers the red dot, I was a red dot up near Derby, because most of my students are based up in that area. So Tuesday I'll be at Melbourne, Thursday I'll be at Churchill, and that's a big treatment works you can see from the M1, by the way. And working on students there, so there's people involved in, from some friends who are operating them, but we've also got the contractors who are building them, our own engineers who are managing the project. So it's quite a varied team, different team at each place as well.
And how do we pray into that situation? It reminds me quite a lot of my work situation, really, of meeting with people on technical things without a lot of obvious opportunity to share our faith. But how can we pray?
I think one thing is, and I don't know if it's any problems, I'm actually very conscious of the way that the name of Jesus is not revealed, it's used more as well yet. And I'm finding that more and more difficult. And I just pray that maybe I have the courage to say something. I have, one-on-one with individuals mentioned there, and most of the time I just repeat the good news, and obviously I didn't really know that kind of stuff. But that would be good. And really just to remember that, I am their representative, when I go into that meeting, it's not just me with the rest of the team, it's me and Jesus. I'm not the same person when I'm moving to a technical meeting on Thursday morning as I am when I'm moving to the group on Wednesday morning. How can I be consistent in my walk with God and the way that I am with people?
Okay, well, let's pray. Did somebody
want to come and pray there?
Yeah, Shannon, but that's probably not better than me.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Anne. We thank you for her witness in her life. We thank you for all those people that she has contact with during the week. And as she has asked, we pray, Lord, that you would help her to be consistent in her witness, whether it be at midweek or amongst those she works with at Severn Trent or in the home. And Lord, we do ask that you would use her as your witness, that you would show your love through her to those that she meets. So Lord, we ask for your work in Anne and through Anne to those that she is in contact with. In your name we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Lord, we pray for Anne that in all aspects of her daily life she can become more aware that you're with her in all that she does, and that the difference between perhaps the secular and spiritual isn't as big as we think it is, and that we're, as been shared this morning, we're your representative in whichever situation we're in. I do pray particularly, Lord, about Anne's desire perhaps to share a bit about how she feels about your name being used badly in the work context. And I do pray, Lord, that Mike's brief but quite strong sharing of letting the peace of God rule in your heart, that would be Anne's experience if she does choose the right moment to share that with someone, that she would very clearly experience the peace of God ruling in her heart. And who knows what might come out of probably a nervous moment to be able to do it, experiencing you giving that peace, and then the conversation that we had with us expectantly that it would be positive if I was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Right. The next is the video coming up is also a prayer. The subtitles are up there, so you can read it as well as listen, hopefully. Just take it in, and then hopefully you can say Amen at the end.
Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your desire.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience.
So that you are recognized.
Yeah. May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine. Give me your joy and self-control.
So that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity, weakness, breakthrough.
Let my life overflow with you.
Amen.